Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It's Sunday night. We're squeezing this show in between the Bucks game and the World Series. Richie's a little bit happy that the Bucks won, although it's a little bit of a somber mood tonight after that loss to Louisville. Richie, Freddie, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, man, I just noticed Richie cut the beard off, man.
Nah, man. So I work in a hospital, and once a year we have to get fit for a respirator, and you have to be clean shaven. So by next week's show, the beard will be back. But today, my wife hates me. She's like, I don't even recognize you. But yeah, you know, it sucks about Florida State last night, but Tampa Bay, man, they're just rolling 45-20. Feeling pretty good right now.
And on my end, I didn't expect the NFL games to go like that today. Let's just say another unsuccessful day of gambling for me. So I may be done.
The NFL had some wild games today. The Bucs game was starting, so I wanted to flip over to that. But the last minute of the Lions game, the Browns game, and what was the last one that was kind of crazy? Oh, the Titans game. Like three crazy finishes all at the last second, and I'm trying to flip over to the Bucs game, but thank God for NFL Red Zone, because that was like the best 60 seconds of football that I remember for a long time.
And we have a lot of Falcons fans that listen to this, man. I feel bad for you guys. That's every week. It's like a new way to find a way to lose a game. That's brutal.
I don't feel bad at all. after being a Florida State fan the last 3 or 4 years, I don't feel bad one bit. Sucks to suck, man. Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. Appreciate them and appreciate their partnership and all that they do for us. 1818 West Tennessee Street and 2550 North Monroe. If you've got the Florida State football blues, we'll get you a gut box with Double Fries No Slaw, and that'll cheer you up. Or it'll make you feel like you need a nap and you can just sleep off the depression. So whatever you got going, a gut box will solve your issues for you. We have a couple of guests tonight. We're going to jump into our first one right here with on the show. We've got first time on the show, Lamont Green. Lamont played for Florida State in the mid-90s, 94 to 98. And we appreciate you hanging out tonight, man. How's it going, bud?
Things going pretty good, man. How you guys doing?
Good, man. I'm blessed.
Good, man. Good.
Outside of about every 3 hours on every Saturday or so, we do really well on this show. So, but otherwise doing well, man. You had some thoughts. You had some thoughts about Florida State yesterday, the defense, the performance, if you can call it a performance, against Louisville, just absolutely getting torched. And you weren't shy about letting your feelings be known. For the folks that maybe don't follow you on Twitter or didn't see it, what are some of your thoughts or takeaways as a former player on this FSU team, program, defense? What do you got going?
Well, I don't know how some people look at it, but I mean, me, I'm a former captain at Florida State, you know, on the defense. You know, I played for Mickey Andrews, you know, I played with a lot of great football players that came off of that defense. Kind of hard for us to sit back, you know, and see what's transpiring, because it seems to me that, you know, we kind of, as FSU fans, you know, we got a different kind of fan pool. We want to play the blame game sometime. And I don't think the players are just hungry enough, coach. I mean, it's just, I'm not blaming the coaches, because coaches just call plays. You know what I'm saying? It's been some time that I can see if there's a situation we were put in that, you know, the scheme got us messed up a whole lot, but it just seemed like some of these guys just don't have any sense of urgency. You know what I mean? It's different when you're going out and you know what I mean, and you're playing the game and you're hungry. I played with some vicious animals, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I don't know. I'm just watching that, and I'm watching the games, and I don't see any guys as just, I don't know, because the rules changed. What, man? I don't see anybody bloodthirsty right now. I don't see anybody that's just trying no matter what. Nothing is going to stop them from getting to the quarterback. I don't see nobody trying to knock no snot bubbles out of nobody else's nose. I don't see nobody running up on people, just running up on them and just trying to knock their pads off with correct angles. You know what I mean? Some of it might be coaching, but you got to want to. This is in Florida State, you got to be in the want to business, because that's the only way you got to work. You got to want it to work, you know? And last week was something different. Last week, they kind of gave me some flashbacks of the old way Florida State plays defense. But then this week, right back to it, you know, right back to the foolishness. So it's just, I don't know. These guys, they got to do something. They got to do it quick. They got to do some soul searching. They got to find out what they want to do, because, man, when I was there, Coach Andrews could have called 11 men on the line. No safeties, no linebackers. We were going to find a way to make it work. So I'm not going for that about how the scheme, this, the coach, this, the nah. Because it all boils down to you got to want to get after somebody. Ain't nobody getting after nobody. You get after somebody, everything will work. Get after the quarterback and it'll make everything on the back end easy.
How much of it, I mean, I'm kind of with you on the fact that it's effort. I mean, I think you've got a good point that the game has definitely changed. Like, you've even seen, like, the SEC that was always kind of vaunted for its great defense really kind of take a step back, and things are becoming more offensive. But you could tell a difference between just a change in the way the game is played and guys' effort level, right? Like, you would expect that, man, you're not going to have – like that just old school 90s defense, like, just isn't really around. Even that, like, that 2000s defense, like, nobody, like, even Alabama and these teams are giving up like 40, 50 points a game, right? So, like, the game has changed, but it looks so much different with our guys because that just effort isn't there, right? So, like, you could take good offense, and in most sports, good offense is going to be good defense, right? A pitcher throws a perfect pitch, but a perfect hit's going to beat it, right? Perfect defense on Kobe or Michael, they're still going to hit the shot in your face. So, like, good offense is going to be good defense. But I think you're exactly right. That's the problem FSU fans have is, I mean, we're not even close on the defensive side of the ball. It ain't like we're just barely getting beat, you know, here and there. It's like every time the team gets the ball, you're like, man, I hope they at least just take 10 plays to score, not like a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I think for some of our fans, you know, sometimes we're a little bit unrealistic in what we want to see, because what we're used to, you know, I just want to see improvement, and I want to see, you know what I mean? I want to see the big time players step up a little bit, because it's just, you know, when I was at Florida State, that's why a lot of people compare it to those times. You can't compare this to back then. You just can't, because we had, just on my team, I'm just talking about the years I was there, and I'm not going to go through the, we had Renard Wilson on one side, Peter Bowell on the other side. That was, 17 sacks and 21 sacks right there. We had Greg Spires behind those. That was another 10, 12 sacks. We had Andre Wadsworth. We had Julian Pittman. We had Corey Simon. We had Larry Smith. You know, the kind of players that were there then, are these guys aren't that. You know, it's just no disrespect to any players, but we don't have 10 defensive linemen that are lined up ready to go. It don't matter who's in the game and what time. We don't have six linebackers that's ready to go. You know, that's, you can put any combination of them out there, you don't get any drop off. We don't have that with our defensive backs either. So it's just, I think sometimes we're a little bit unrealistic with that portion of it, but I don't think we're unrealistic as a fan base with wanting to see improvement. You know what I mean? And these guys from week to week, we saw some improvement last week. Yeah, we did. But this week, we've seen a drop-off back to what we saw before. You know, so I don't know if it's on the road. I don't know if it's – I don't know what it is, but we got to get it straightened out. But one good thing and one silver lining in it, that last week they showed us that they can, you know, that they can turn it on. You know, we just don't know how to get that button pushed.
And you kind of spoke on that. I think – failure, we all know failure is instrumental in success, but learning how to handle success is important too. And I feel like that's what they struggle with this game. They got that big win, and I don't know your thoughts on it, but I think that big win, they may have got a little too high, and that may have been the reason why we saw what we saw on Saturday.
Yeah, that could be too. You know, it's hard to handle success sometimes when you're a young team. when you're a young team and you haven't had a lot of success, when you finally get a little bit of success or a little piece of it, you know what I mean? Then next week you can have a drop off. And that may, you may be right. That may be what happened. I just, you know what I mean? I just, hopefully that's what happened and they could get back to the team that played against North Carolina next week. Because the team that we saw was kind of the team that we saw at the beginning of the year. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday.
And with your squad, I know you were team captain and instrumental lead on that squad. Tell us about how things were with y'all squad, with y'all guys stepping up, the senior leadership stepping up, because I think that's one thing we're missing right now. A lot of these guys, they've been struggling with coaching staff coming in and out over the past 3 years. So the trust factor is a little iffy right now. So they got to lean on the senior leadership for us to be successful. And if they can't lean on it, I don't really think it's going to transition as fast as we needed to transition. We need these senior leaders to step up. So kind of tell us about how it was with you guys teaching these younger guys what it takes to be successful at Florida State.
Well, I think a little bit of that with my classes and, you know, our leadership, it kind of rolled downhill because our coaches had been together when I was there. They probably had been together 25 years already, you know what I mean? So the expectations that they had from the leadership standpoint, it kind of just rolled downhill. You knew who were the, okay, just like before when I first got there, Derek Brooks was the captain. I pretty much knew in a couple years I was going to be in that seat. So I saw what captains needed to do. I watched Derek Alexander. I watched Derek Brooks, you know what I mean? You know, even going to our office, I watched Zach Crocker, you know what I'm saying? I watched Henry Crocker before me. And I knew exactly, you know, how they led and how to be a leader. You know, a lot of times these guys, they don't know how to lead because one thing about it, you can be a leader, but everybody ain't good leaders. You know what I'm saying? Some leaders can lead your ass down the wrong path. You know what I mean? So everybody ain't a good leader, but it just so happened that we came from a long line of just handing over the keys, basically. You know, you already know what to do. You know how to run this ship over here on defense. So now here your turn go. And you make sure these young guys fall in line. And it, I mean, it was easy for me as a leader because, you know, when once you get that title and everybody know that you ain't just got the title, you're going to go out there, you're going to, you know, I mean, you're going to do your thing on Saturdays too, you know, and everybody's held accountable because, you know, that was just an expectation for us. We didn't care who was on the field. Whoever got on the field, we was not expecting any kind of drop off. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's instilled in these guys right now. I just think on defense, I don't know. And you know, just listening for now, see, I think Marvin's a good leader. I think he's a good leader. I think the guys will listen to him. You know, it's just some things that ain't going right now on defense. And him and the rest of the seniors, they got to come together and they got to figure out what it is before it's too late. You know, they got to figure out what it is ASAP.
Lamont, I forget who it was, but there was a player yesterday after the game that said, you know, one of the biggest problems on the defensive side of the ball right now is that you have everyone trying to, you know, play hero ball. Everyone's trying to make their play instead of just do their assignment, and basically called out his own unit. And is that what you're seeing out there? It's just, are these guys, have they been, you know, they struggled so much? Are they just trying to do too much right now? Or because I look back at that long touchdown runs by Hawkins yesterday, you know, we had three guys in the backfield, but it looked like they're all in the same gap. And then he busted out for a big touchdown run. So is it just the defense trying to do too much, or do they just not know what they're doing right now?
When it comes to that, now I'm an advocate of trying to, you know what I mean? I always blame the players. I'm never a guy that's going to blame coaches. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But when we got three guys in the same gap, it's something going wrong. You know what I mean? It's something going wrong. We ain't breaking down to make tackles. There's a lot of things that we're not doing, but these guys just started playing football yesterday, guys. These guys are on Florida State's football team for a reason. They don't just go and just randomly pick people off the streets and say, hey, come play for Florida State. You know what I mean? We got some problems. You know, we got some things the coaching staff might need to tighten up on, but me personally, I don't see the effort. I don't see a sense of urgency. I don't see anybody wanting to be the guy to make a play, you know, because one thing about it, a play doesn't care who makes it. You know, that's one thing about it. But we got to have some people that want to step up and make plays. Well, I changed my – I do see one guy there. Now 26. 26 is a big-time football player. You know what I mean? He step up to the plate every time he get a chance. But we need 10 more guys that's playing like 26. You know, that's just my personal, you know, that's my personal, you know. That's what I think.
I've got a question for you, kind of a little bit, maybe something a little more positive, and we can kind of get off of that and appreciate your thoughts on it. Your son is a recruit right now and going through this. What's it like, having gone through it once yourself, but obviously many years ago, different kind of circumstances, different world. What's it like to now go through it with him and to kind of see it through, I don't know, experienced eyes, but you want him to have his moment? Or like, what's that like for you?
Man, it's kind of cool in a way, you know. It's because when I went through it, it was a whole lot different. There was no social media, you know. We barely even had no cell phones, you know what I mean? So it's just a lot different now. These kids, they get so much exposure, man, and it happens so fast. You know, one thing happens and everybody knows about it so fast. But I mean, I think he's doing pretty well. He's one of those kids, man. He's not really into that. You know, I would call him kind of like a blue collar kid. He goes to work, you know, he goes to the gym, he goes about his work, he goes to practice, he goes about that. He's not into, you know, I do the social media thing kind of, but he doesn't, you know, he's not into that. He watches it, you know, very quiet kid, you know, analyze it. And to get me and him are totally 300. We're only the same on the football field. You know what I mean? And I think he's a little better than I was at this point. But as just far as this person, you know, I was a wild guy. You remember, I don't know if you guys remember back then, but I was the gold teeth guy with the hair everywhere, you know, acting crazy. My son, he's totally different. You know what I mean? He's about his business. You know, he's one of those straightforward kids, very good student. I can't say enough positive things about him. He don't give me any problems. He goes to work, though. He goes to work. And I think, you know, with the recruiting part for him, it's a little different because everything is comparisons to your dad, you know, and he kind of does, you know, his own thing. And one thing I'm glad about, we play different positions, because if we played the same positions, it would be even worse, you know. So, but he's doing well. He's handling it well. You know, he's got his favorite schools, you know, that he likes. You know, he grew up on Florida State football, so that's one big advantage that we have, you know, going into it. So I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited about it. He's still a puppy, though. You know, he's still got a ways to go, but he's having a great football season right now, too. They're about 3-4 games into it, man, and he's having an unbelievable year right now. I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Well, all the best of luck to him, and hopefully he continues to grow. And wherever he ends up, whether that's Florida State or wherever, obviously we want him to be in the Garden and go, but wherever he ends up, hopefully he has a ton of success. If he doesn't come to
the Garden and Gold, it's going to be hard for him to have a place to live when football is not in, you know. I'm putting the pressure on, bro. I'm not even faking about it.
I was going to ask.
We need more of that. We need that.
I'm 100% sure. Who knows? Who sees it? I'm putting the pressure on.
I love it.
We need help. Not just that. I'm a legacy, you know. I'm all for the legacy thing, man. You know what I mean? You know, why Florida State's the greatest school in the world? We're just having a few problems right now. Why go somewhere else? There's no need for that. You know, there's no need for that. But hopefully, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully he'll have his head screwed on the right way and get this thing done.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask if you were one of those parents that likes to let them, you know, let them make their own decision. I'm glad that you're pushing him, because I'm gonna do the same thing. If my kid's good enough to play anything, I'm be like, nah, bro, like, this is what you're doing right here.
Yeah, and there's no need to, and I don't need to want him to call it. You know how a lot of those kids, I want to wait to the end and I want to announce it at the All-American, but nah. If we're gonna do it, we need to do it whenever you know that you want to do it, let's do it, so we can try to get some other guys in with you. We can start recruiting some other kids, you know what I mean, to come in with you. That's because it's crazy that I never understood that, wait to the last minute and say, I'm going here, I'm going there. It just, you know, but to each his own. But I, you know, I'm going to try to advise him not to go that route.
Gotcha, man. Well, we appreciate you taking a few minutes. Don't want to keep you too long. Appreciate you taking a few minutes and chatting with us tonight. Wanted to kind of get your thoughts. And then I love that. I love the talking about your son too. Ticket. Not be so depressing talking about like what's going on right now.
Yeah, but I do want to add a little something before I go, man, because one thing, man,
I know
it's probably not translating on the field right now, but guys, trust me, these coaches, they're doing a great job recruiting, man. They're doing a great job recruiting, because we got to remember one thing: those guys that are in there right now, those are not their guys. You know, there's not to say that those are bad players that we got, but certain coaches have certain players to fit what they're trying to do, because I'm a coach myself. You know what I mean? So certain coaches have certain guys to fit what they're trying to do. Man, I absolutely love the way they're recruiting. You know, Adam's a great coach. Fuller, he's a great recruiter. You know, Coach Norvell, he's doing a great job. I want them to have a chance, bro. You know what I mean? I want them to have a chance. And if we don't get some sense of urgency out of these players right now, they're giving them a bad look right now. I don't think the coaches deserve what's going on right now. Me personally, I think they need to give us a little bit more effort. You know, the fan base, the coaches, the players need to come together, and they got to make it a point upon themselves to make this thing right. You know, to make this thing right. So, but that's one point, because a lot of people don't get a chance to know. You know, because my son is one of the kids that are being recruited, and I think they're doing an outstanding job recruiting, bro. They're doing an outstanding job recruiting, but you know, now we got to see, you know, now we just want that to show on the field. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of national guys on. So not just like guys that only cover FSU. And we've asked them their thoughts on Norvell. And that's what they've told us. They've said, like, look, it may not be overnight. It may not be this year. It may not be next year. But, like, we believe in Mike Norvell, and we think he's the answer. And so, like, it's one thing to hear it when you're inside this FSU bubble and everything's sunshine and roses and you know, like, oh, my team's the best. But like when outside national people say it, you know, you kind of like step back and you're like, all right. So, I mean, this is a pro Mike Norvell, pro staff podcast.
Yeah, and I love the staff, man. Yeah. I love him, Coach Norvell, man. I get a very positive vibe from him. You know what I mean? I get a very positive, but he gives me a feel good vibe when I'm around him. You know, I met him. You know, when they came down, you know, they met with all the high school coaches and things like that, and some of the former players. I mean, great guy, down-to-earth guy. You know, you can tell genuine people, you know, and I think they got to give him a chance, man. He's going to get rolling. He's going to get rolling soon, and once he gets rolling, I don't think it's going to stop.
Yeah, I think we saw a glimpse of it last week. Obviously, it didn't carry over to last night, but I think we saw a glimpse of it last week, and I'm hoping we can kind of maybe catch a few more glimpses of it this year. But I'm with you. I think that will be the case. So,
okay, thanks, John.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lamont Green. Thanks for hanging out with us, bro.
All right, no problem, man. All right.
Appreciate Lamont Green. Hey, if you're watching this, if you're checking it out, if you can share it, retweet, like, tag a friend, post it in a group. Send it to a group message, whatever you can do. We'd appreciate it. Follow us everywhere, Double Fries Pod, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Double Fries Pod. You get some inside stuff there. We have another guest on. I'm going to let Richie introduce this guest, as I just admitted him to the call, and it looks like it's connected to audio here. Richie, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this one. We have, you know, if you ever took one of his classes at Florida State, you know, universally known as the most, you know, the best professor at Florida State. His class was such a great time for me. I know, Freddie, you took it too. Mark Ziegler, how we doing, Mark?
Hey, Richie, how you doing? Hey, Freddie.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Good.
Good to see you.
Outstanding. Better to have you on here. We were, you know, in our group chat last night talking about who we wanted to bring on today. And we're like, you know what? We need some positivity. And who better to bring some positivity to where we're all feeling right now than Mark Ziegler. So, Mark, I just want to jump in. I know the seat. Well, let's go back to this week, because let's pretend yesterday didn't happen yet. What was the vibes on campus after that North Carolina win? Because I got to imagine it felt amazing, like we hadn't seen in years there.
Well, you're thinking vibes on campus, no pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's not a vibe, it's more a vibe, because there's really nobody on campus. There's just not. I mean, it's a ghost town. I can walk from my car to a class and not pass a single student. So that being said, there was still a lot of excitement about the team. People were, that first half of the North Carolina game, you know, it was just, I mean, that crowd, it was, you know, just a few thousand, and they were, that roof was rocking. People were into that game and really, and they made a lot of noise. You know, Norvell noted the entire marching chiefs were there and everyone was going nuts, and it just had that good old vibe. The second half, as you well know, that was a really frustrating half to watch, because we didn't really do, and I think part of it was because North Carolina woke up and said, this isn't supposed to be happening. But we fell into some of those old personal foul calls and at errant times and that kind of thing. So it kind of took the air out of the balloon a little bit. But still, we stop them at the end. We win the game. It was more of a exhale, we won. So we went into this game with a lot of hope, because the last 2 years, you know, we weren't all that good, and we handled Louisville. You know, we stole that one from them the year before last, and then last year, you know, we beat them at home. So what wasn't to like? And you thought with Jordan Travis, you know, that we would have that impetus to go up there and, you know, just beat them. So anyway, I don't know what happened, but it was really disappointing. I was listening to Lamont bemoan the defensive performance, and I mean, I don't have any answers. I just was really disappointed yesterday with how we played.
Mark, I had a follow up there. We've not met, but my name's TJ, and these two guys, I don't know why, but they do a podcast with me, so I just happen to be here. But I didn't go to FSU, so I didn't take any classes, but I do have a question. We talked about this yesterday a little bit on our kind of instant reaction show, that progress isn't necessarily always linear. And I know that's an easy cop out, right? When you lose, right? Because if we'd have won and shut them out, we'd say like, oh, hey, look, we got better this week. So you just kind of say whatever fits your narrative in any situation, I guess. But like, but do you buy that? Do you think that, you know, we saw a glimpse, maybe it was more UNC playing poorly, but we did a few things right, and we've got a chance to rebound and play better against Pitt? Or is it more of a matchup thing with a running quarterback? Or like, what are your thoughts just overall on that?
I don't know. I do think that there's improvement. There's so many things different now under Coach Norvell. I mean, I don't really know how to describe it. I'm to try to be positive. All right. There's a lot of good things right now under this coaching staff. Now, the kinds of I'm always about intangibles. I'll give you one. Back in the spring, right before the pandemic hit, I was riding my bike back to UCC, and I always go by UCD, and the players were coming in for a first. It was the first week, I think, of spring practice. And I kind of stopped because I saw Marvin come, and I had had Marvin in class. And I stopped because normally he would stop and talk to me, you know, for 10 minutes or so. And I stopped. I said, Marvin, he's like, I can't talk, Professor Ziegler. I got 1 minute to get there. And if I don't get there, I am in trouble. And I said, whoa, things are a little different. He goes, you have no idea how different. And he ran off and said, we'll catch up later. That's the kind of thing that I like. Because he was not going to just stand there and talk and be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes late going into practice. And in the past, he would have just stood there with me the past couple of years, because it didn't matter when he got there. And so that's a good sign. I'll tell you another really good sign. I've been here all these years, and the first time I ever got an email from a head football coach was under Coach Norvell. And over the summer, I wrote him an email inviting him to my Brian Hall colloquium. I'm the faculty director for the Brian Hall Living Learning Community. and it's about 100 freshmen, and we're actually having face-to-face class with them. There's 40 in one room, video connection to another room, and we've got some kids online. And I sent, beginning of August, I said, Coach Norvell, I know you got a lot going on. Would really like to have you come visit and speak to the students. And within 45 minutes, I had an email back from him. I'd be honored with the invitation. What date would you like for me to come? And I said, well, we have Thrasher on August 24th. Why don't we have you on August 31st? He said, what time? I said, 6:45. He said, I would be honored to be there and speak with the students. And he came. I sent an email the week and the week of, and I said, you know, your number's up, Mike. And he showed up 15 minutes ahead of time and interacted with some of the students. And I've never seen that. I mean, I've never seen that with our other football coaches. That's like Lonnie Alameda. That's like Sue Simrow. That's like Leonard Hamilton. I am encouraged by those two signs. Willing to go speak to a freshman class, a group of freshmen, and the players knowing that they can't be late. I can't help but think with that there and keep getting some good recruits that we're going to turn the corner. Those would be two little things. Intangibles, yes, but the kind of signs I like to see, because the signs I saw the two prior years would not speak to that at all.
So, Mark, a lot of people don't know this, but you actually do a good bit behind the scenes in recruiting, obviously, in a non-pandemic world when we can have official visits.
Yeah, I've done a lot, Richie. You know all about that. Did quite a bit of it under Coach Bowden, a lot under Jimbo. I mean, it was some of the best, really the best times as far as the athletics part of my career was. I always got to sit by Jimbo at the academic luncheon, and I got to speak at those luncheons. I didn't do any of it during the Taggart era. And then 5 days after Norvell arrives, I get a phone call. Can you come to recruiting on Saturday? And I was absolutely. And I met with Lawrence. I can never say his last name, the running back.
Philly. Yes.
I love him. Loved his family.
Big fan.
Yeah. And I met with another young man from Venice, who was my high school, Venice High School. And so got to meet that family, and we had a lot of people in common, but it was such a good feeling at that first recruiting meeting that I got to go to 5 days after Norvell was named. It was like we were back in the Jimbo days, organization and just really good feelings in that room among the family members and the faculty members that were there. There were a bunch of faculty members there that first day, 5 days after he got there. And so I can't help but think we're going to be better. I just can't. It's Florida State. Okay, since 2015, over all sports, we have the second best winning percentage over all Division I athletic departments. And that's including football. We haven't done well since 2015. So you look at softball and foot and basketball and Coach Sue's team and baseball and all of those, second best winning percentage across all sports since 2015. So we win here, and people do get out on the field and they give 100%. I see it in the classroom, man. You know, our students aren't wasting their time or lollygagging doing what they're supposed to do. And so when we see some of that and in our premier sport, we think, what the heck? That's not us. You know, that's what Lamont was talking about early on. Man, I don't know. That's not what we do. You know, old Mickey Andrews was my neighbor for 18 years. I used to walk the dog. We'd stand in his driveway talking. If I had a player miss class, I'd stop at Mickey's house on the way home and say, hey, Mickey, so-and-so missed class. And the next day that student would come into class and goes, please don't stop at Mickey's house. Please don't stop at Mickey's house. And I said, well, then get your butt to class and I won't stop at Mickey's house. You know, so there was, we're at Florida State, we just do good work. Everybody. And so when we're not producing the results that we're used to seeing, it's really hard as Seminole fans. It's just not something we've lived ever.
Hey Zig, I don't have a question, but I just want to say I appreciate you. When we talk to these recruits, the biggest thing is transitioning into life as a man, preparing these guys for life after sports. And little do you know, I was a guy that never really talked. My teammates will tell you, when I talked, everybody shut up and listen because I never really talked. But now you see me talking all the time. I get paid to speak and things of that nature. People are like, yo, man, you didn't used to talk. Now you won't shut up. I'm like, man, y'all got to blame Ziegler, man, because this class, like, it really helped me open up. I was hesitant at first, but now, like, man, it's natural to me. And you're a guy that truly loves this school, this university, and you do everything you can. So for all you recruits out there, when you're talking about coming to a school where you can grow, and then you have people outside of the football program that want to see you be successful in life, you're looking at one of them right now. So I just want to say I appreciate everything you do for the program.
Well, Freddie, I love everything you did while you were here, and I love your voice now, man. I love to follow, because you're pretty much writing down what I'm feeling at the time, so it makes me feel justified. So I really appreciate it. On that recruiting thing, I always remember I helped recruit Dustin Hopkins. And I was chatting with his wife today during the Washington game when he kicks. I always get nervous when Dustin's kicking. But yeah, he was down between us and Notre Dame. And Dustin could have gone anywhere in the country because academically he was really good. And then he was a great kicker. And do you know why he chose us over Notre Dame? Because on his we were the only recruiting visit where he met with professors. At Notre Dame, he didn't, and any other place he went, he didn't. And he met with me, and he met with the dean of the College of Communication. And that was why he chose Florida State over Notre Dame, because of that academic involvement in his recruiting. And there's not only me. There are so many professors that are engaged in this. You know, Paul Cottle from physics, and Joe Calhoun from economics, and Mark Curley from chemistry. And, you know, Pam Robbins and Maxine Jones from history, Billy Close from criminology. We've got, you know, just so many faculty members that get the big picture. You know, they get the academic part, but they know that this opportunity for an athlete to come here and have their education paid for, we want to be a part of that so that they know that it's not just the football, but that we're really trying to help them get a ticket. Because if they get that degree, they get that ticket, then when it's over and football days are over, then they can go in. They can apply for that job. They can, you know, they'll have those contacts professionally that will allow them to jumpstart that life post-football. Kenny Shaw, I spent a lot of time with him over the last couple of years because he came back to get that degree. And he would always be sitting outside the testing room, you know, going to the testing center. Kenny Shaw had to take chemistry to graduate and get his degree. And he would send me a text message. He's like, Ziegler, come out here and pray with me, man. I got a chemistry test. So I'd go out there and he would just be sitting there and he'd be laughing. I'm like, Kenny, you can do this. You're a smart man, you know? And so because of people like Greg Beaumont and Casey King encouraging him to come back and get that degree, Kenny Shaw can now coach at whatever level he wants to coach at because he got that degree. And we're really invested in that. And the emphasis that Norvell is placing on that is unlike things we've seen in a long time, a long time. So I'm really, really encouraged. I know we got to win games, but Norvell's going to get us there. I just believe he will.
We were talking about that with Lamont. I don't know if how far into you watched, and I'm not sure if you've caught any other pods, but we hear that from FSU people and I'm not saying we don't believe you, but we hear that from FSU people and it's always sunshine and roses, right? Because you're always going to look at it. But we've heard that from a lot of national people. Every national guy we have on, whether it's Andy Staples or Barrett Salee, or we asked Mark Enos, who is a Louisville right. guy this week, they all say, yep, Norvell's the truth. Norvell's the answer. It may not be this year, may not be next year, but right. it's coming.
It's absolutely
agree. And we're just impatient. We just want it now.
Well, we do. But his communication is so good and he's so thorough. And he's opened his arms and embrace the university. I mean, he was only here 3 months before we shut down, and he seems to get us. He knows what our strengths are, and he wants everyone to be a part. I can't imagine how frustrated he is not being able to bring faculty out to practice and not being able to have, you know, guest faculty coaches, because that's the kind of thing that he does. Oddly enough, after he was named our head coach, I went to the Cotton Bowl back in the holidays to watch Penn State and Memphis, because I actually was a guest of Dustin for the Washington Cowboys game at New Year's. And so I was sitting in the big Jerry World watching that game. And I sent, this is 2 weeks after I met Norvell, I sent him a direct message from the Jerry World saying, I'm watching your team and you're playing my friend Eric Barron's team. And just, man, they look good. They look fired up. They look like they're playing for one another. And 30 minutes later, sitting in Jerry World, I get a direct message from him during the Cotton Bowl. It says, man, root for my guys, but, you know, hope Penn State does well, because I know, you know, you're friends with Eric Barron. I mean, that's a month after he arrived at Florida State, and he already had pieces of the puzzle he was putting together. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to write me back. I'm nobody. I met him for 5 minutes. I sent him a direct message, and he writes me back immediately. I mean, I am in. If he needed me to come to practice and suit up this week and play in the defensive line, I would sacrifice my body for that guy. Because he wants what's best. He just wants what's best.
Yeah, and we had one of his former players from Memphis, Kadarian Jones, come on the podcast before the season, and he was just, you know, very adamant. He wanted to come onto the podcast. You know, we reached out to him, but he's like, yes, I want to talk to the Florida State fans, let them know what kind of man they have, because he talked about how he didn't really buy in at first when, because he wasn't recruited by Coach Norvell, but he played for him for 4 years.
Right.
And he said that, you know, he's like, I didn't really buy in, but once I got to know this guy and when I saw how he runs a program, he's like, give it time, Florida State fans, because unfortunately this is a rebuild. It's a multi-year rebuild. We know that's where we're at, but I know everyone on this podcast, Freddie, TJ, myself, we are huge Mike Norvell fans. Oh. And to hear you kind of give us some behind the scenes stories like that, that just gets me more excited and validates my opinion that I do think we have the right guy in charge right now.
Richie, I've got another story that's right down your alley. When Mike, when Coach Norvell, I can't call him Mike yet. We're not that close. But when Coach Norvell came to my class, he told the story when he was a sophomore playing college ball. And there was this older gentleman that was on the sideline, just watching him play, you know, and he was at a smaller school. He said that older gentleman just watching him play. And Mike Norvell said, you know, the team would run off. And he says, I don't know why, but I just went over and I started talking to him. He became my friend. So when he was at practice, I'd go over and say, how you doing, bud? Good to see you. And anyway, the point is that guy that was watching their practice was really good friends with Gus Malzahn. And so when Mike decides to go into coaching, that guy recommends him to Gus Malzahn. And that was Norvell's conduit into the coaching world. And he was telling the class that everyone you interact with is important. And you should go and meet people. You should say, hi, my name is Richie. I'm in your class. Anyway, it was really inspiring about how he was lucky that he had parents and coaches that taught him how to do that. And so a week later, I had this young lady send me this email, and she was in there in the class. And she said, Mr. Ziegler, I just want you to, if you could pass along a note to Coach Norvell. He really inspired me the other day. And I got a hold of a teacher, and I'm going to start doing some research with that teacher. And I would have never done that. Please tell Coach Norvell that I'm part of the climb too. All right. And I copied that email. I said, Mike, Coach Norvell, look at this from a young lady who's a freshman who listened to your inspiring words, and she's part of the climb too. 20 minutes later, he wrote, you just made my heart sing. That is so important. Everyone in this campus is part of our climb, and I'm so glad that she's out there trying to make things right. I'm just here to tell you, there are very few people on campus that would care about a young freshman girl doing that. Certainly football coaches. But he cared, you know? He's awesome. I want him to win so bad I could almost cry.
Yeah, it was so awesome just seeing that video from last week and when they were breaking the rock when Coach Storms gives him the sledgehammer.
I thought he was gonna tear his shoulder.
What I love most about that video is watching the players, even someone like a James Blackman who's since been benched, but he had the biggest smile on his face. He was just so happy, and that was awesome. And unfortunately, this week happened, but again, go and beat Pitt, and we'll be feeling good again.
We could. I mean, Notre Dame dismantled them. We should dismantle them. The other thing in that North Carolina game, I always am looking at stuff on the sidelines. I got friends that watch, and they're like, that guy's not in the gap and all that. I'm like, I don't care. I was listening to the fight song. But I'll tell you something that I loved in that North Carolina game. When Kando intercepted that ball and ran and picked it off right in the middle of the field and, you know, it was just a walk into the end zone. Did you see the bench? The bench is what I loved. Like this. This is what they did. Every man jumped up and ran towards the sideline, down towards the goal line. Every man jumping up, high-fiving. They were all proud of their teammate. Y'all, we haven't seen that in a long time.
Well, it looks like Coach Hamilton's team, man. When we had John Isaac on the bench, probably the best player on the team, just going nuts for someone else who makes a basket. So
absolutely. It's very much like what Hamilton instills. But that's when they weren't, they're not – your guard is down, and a play like that, that's just automatic. And when you see 70 players jump up and run towards the goal line to congratulate Kando, that means the stuff being done behind the scenes is taking effect. Because if it's not, they just sit there and look up, and then look up at the screen to see what happened. They didn't look up the screen. They ran down towards the goal line to congratulate their teammate. That's all I needed to see.
Speaking of Coach Hamilton, I think that's a good transition point, and we don't want to keep you too long, but speaking of Coach Hamilton, how excited are you for basketball to come back? Are they not? I know there's a lot of great coaches and a lot of great programs, but they're fun.
They're the best. They graduate the first day of class. They come up to you and they introduce themselves. Hi, my name is, and I'm going to say Michael Ojo because he was my buddy. Hello, Professor Ziegler. My name is Michael Ojo. Most people call me Ojo. Here's a schedule. We'd love to have you come to some of our games. Let me know if you come so I can wave at you. And then he says, if we're going to miss class, I'll let you know ahead of time. And I'll get a fellow student to get my notes. I mean, that's just not normal. I mean, I love Freddie, but Freddie didn't do that.
Call him out.
that stuff. Those things where they get the big picture. But we've seen that from basketball since early 2000s. And they all graduate. Every single one of them, they graduate.
Yeah, well, one of my favorite stories to tell about my time at Florida State is when, I don't know if you remember my buddy Weston, class with you.
Poundstone?
So we drove up to Chapel Hill on like a Tuesday night to go to North Carolina for the game. Drove back through the night and went to your class in the morning. And it's because, again, Coach Hamilton, first of all, he knew we were big supporters of the Knoll Zone and gave us seats right behind Florida State's bench, which is awesome. But also, we didn't want to miss your class the next day because it's one of those classes where, like, we are excited to go to it and wanted to be there.
Well, you need to get out more, Richie. Let me tell you a great old story from Warwick Dunn. 95, we lose that first ACC game. Our little pup, so you don't remember this. Yeah. But Warwick Dunn ends up two inches short. I'm watching the game with Mark Mullaney, who was end up being our associate athletic director, and a guy that's now associate athletic director of Virginia Tech. I mean, he was one of our football academic advisors. We are so sad. That game ends at midnight. We've got to go to school the next day. My buddy Chris Helms, who's now at Virginia Tech, gets to his office at 6:30 the next morning. Okay. 6:30, because I think that was a Thursday night game. And who is sitting outside of his office for an office hour at 6:30 in the morning? Warwick Dunn. Wow. He was the one who'd come up short in that first loss. It was the biggest highlight of, the last 5 years of college football. And Warwick Dunn is there to meet with his academic advisor the next morning, 3 hours after he arrived back from Charlottesville, Virginia. That's Florida State.
Well, that's done. Brown's probably the one of the best ambassadors ever for the program. Ever. We could do an hour on him and just everything he's done from.
Yeah,
he became a man at a very young age, and man, he's one of the reasons I became a Florida State fan.
Absolutely. People like that. I mean, and again, I can just go through the names, Reggie Freeman and Sam Cowart and, you know, Renard Wilson and Shaytree and they did those
we had
guys.
Later on we had Myron on. Yeah. I was thinking Myron.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Gosh, how great is that? I mean, that it's just, you know, it's just with so many things to be proud of. And oddly enough, you know, our culture is so wrapped around football and so we all feel like the sky is falling, but every other sport is at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single one. So we're going to have to be patient. We've got to root for them. We need to be positive on social media. I mean, it's sad to me, some of the stuff I see on social media, and I went negative last week and someone called me on it. I had to take that tweet down. You know, we've got to be positive. Jimbo used to call it noise in the system. You got to eliminate the noise in the system. And a lot of the noise is us, you know, and if we're negative, those are young guys. It sucks the life right out of them. We got to be positive. We need to say, you know, coach, we're behind you. We'll be at the Pitt game. Happy Halloween. Have fun with your family. We will be there. And we will have our mask on, and we're looking forward to beating Pitt. We got to be positive. We can't just say, anyone want my tickets because we're going to lose to Pitt now. You know, that negativity, that just sucks the life out of it. And it's a game. We have people dying all over the place. And it's a game. That's a gift. We should, you know, be supporting that team and safely watching them and rooting for them.
Yeah, you know, it's – we all 3 months ago, none of us knew if we'd be watching college football or not this year. So like
how
you
lucky
said,
are we?
It's a blessing that we still get to turn it on every Saturday, and there's still five games left. And you know, outside of Clemson, you can beat all of them. So there's still a lot of opportunity out there this season. So it's tough because as Florida State fans, I feel like we make every week a referendum on what the state of the program is right now. When let's just enjoy it. Like TJ said, progress may not be linear. Right. And, you know, I know we were a little negative yesterday in the instant reaction, but come on, it's an instant reaction after a 32-point blowout.
Rich, but we are so spoiled.
We are.
So
yes.
Spoiled. You want bad? In 1973, when I was in elementary school, we were 0-10. All right. I was the biggest Seminole. I was the only Seminole fan in my school. We go to the final game, FSU at Florida. We're 0-10, and we lost 49-0 to Florida to go 0-11. You guys don't know bad. That's like that. Bad.
It is funny. It is funny how reactionary we are. I'm a big Lightning fan. I'm a big Lakers fan, a big Rays fan. Like, all my teams are winning championships and my football team loses a game. And I'm like, dude, my life is terrible. Like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do.
Listen, it's not terrible. We're Florida State. We go 0-11. We're still Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not having a good year. We've been primetime games. People celebrate like they've conquered Goliath and we're not even very good right now. And they go nuts when they beat us. That's a compliment. And so, you know, what I'd like to see us mature as an institution where we're like Nebraska, where we're like, dang, you guys beat us. We're going to get you back, you know, to have some, you know, recognize the historical significance and not be so immediate gratification. You know, we've got a grand history and we're going to get it back. It's going to happen with Norvell and I'm going to be there and it's going to be awesome.
We ask really hard hitting serious questions on this podcast. And so I always have to slide this in. I didn't do it with Lamont cause I didn't want you to get a preview. But Double Fries No Slaw, obviously an homage to, or like an ode to Guthrie's. Do you have any Guthrie stories? Are you a Gut Box fan?
God, I'm a Guthrie's fan. I was Guthrie's before Guthrie's was in Tallahassee. Because one of my best friends played on the offensive line at Auburn from
that's where it started.
85 to 89, 90. In fact, I used to stayed in his room with him and Frank Thomas. I was just watching the pre-MLB. There's Frank Thomas. I was slept on the floor in his room when they played USC in the 86 Citrus Bowl. But yes, I used to go to Guthrie's when it was up at Auburn, and that was the first place we'd go. So when it opened in Tallahassee, it was as if we would find the end of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I love that. They have the best sweet tea. They have the best ice machine in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Because the ice machine's important. I don't know. I love everything about that place. It's been a while, and Zaxby's is, a pretender. They try, but I absolutely love Guthrie's.
We're big fans. We're thankful to partner with them. And one opened up, I live in Tampa, so one opened up here in Tampa.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I go much more often than I should. So we definitely enjoy it. Yeah. Mark, we appreciate you a ton for hanging out. I don't want to take up any more of your time. Appreciate that. You brought the positivity.
I'm happy to see Richie. Whenever I think of Richie, I think of the Clemson game, not 2013, yeah. 51-14. I was up in the upper deck, and I snuck down with my mom. We had to get the ticket guy to let us down through there. He wouldn't let us come down in the lower deck. And I said to him, there's nobody at your stadium. I don't know how we're going to crowd people out. Everyone has gone home. Right? And it's 45-7, dude. Can I go down there? So I get down there, and there's Richie. We're hugging each other in the middle of the field. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, good times, man.
You know, Clemson will beat us again this year. They will never recover from that day.
No.
Now, somebody was asking me about that today. Them beating us bad. It's not – there is nothing like, I mean, they were number three when we beat them down. I mean, they're beating bad FSU teams that aren't going to bowls, that are having losing records. Right. That's not impressive. Like that's, but when we went in there and they were number three, they were favored. That was their national championship year. And we beat the hell out of them. That was,
Two sips of Coke and we were up 17-0. And the party was on. They left. We just waved at them through the whole game. See ya. Bye. They were gone.
As great as it was, I mean, we were all in Pasadena that night. As great as it was in Pasadena, man, that is so many people's favorite memory from that year.
I say this? I didn't get to go to Pasadena. You know why? We had class.
Oh. Yes.
Auburn canceled school for a week. We didn't cancel anything. Next morning, I had a class. I had one student miss class after we won that national championship.
That's awesome.
That's Florida State.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, no. Thank you so much for hanging out tonight. Enjoy the bye week and go Noles.
Sure. Freddie, if there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know, okay?
Yes, sir. We'll do. Appreciate
you. You're really good on social media, and you put up with a lot of crap, and you represent us really well, and I'm proud of you.
Sir, I appreciate everything you do, Zig. Hey, I'm going to send you a message after this and get your number.
Anytime. I'm here for the long haul. I'll be always here for you, okay, Freddie?
Yes, sir. Take care.
We'll see y'all.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you, appreciate it, man.
Bye.
Mark Ziegler, he was great. He was great. He brought the positivity. I feel better after talking with him. I mean, I just didn't really think about the game a lot while he was on, but I feel better. We're all just kind of taking solace in our other teams. Like Richie's thinking about the Bucks. Liberty 6-0. Like I wore this. The Rays are in the World Series. So, I mean, it's not all bad, I guess. If you're watching, if you can like, share, retweet, tag a friend in this, we'd appreciate it. We don't have to dive deep into it, but we can talk about the game a little bit. I don't want to go through the game like we did last week, but I have a couple of thoughts on the game. As bad as it was, I think Florida State is very close to making the game look respectable, and it was really had everything to do with our offense. We got stopped on a 4th-and-1 inside the 1 yard line. Missed a field goal, had an interception tipped up and picked off and really had another chance to score too. If you convert on, 13 points of that, then you're looking at like a 29-48 game. Still not great, but it just looks a little bit more respectable. Louisville's got a good offense. So I think the offense is close. The difference between the offense and the defense to me is the defense doesn't look like they're close at all. The offense looks like they did decent yesterday and just couldn't finish drives. So to me, I mean, it's not a great performance by the offense by any means. It's bad because you have to finish, but I think the offense is a lot closer. Travis stayed pretty healthy. He'll have the bye week. And I think that Pitt's not very good. You know, we look at these last five games and we're going to lose to Clemson, but then you play everybody else in on the schedule and none of them have really good offenses or offenses that are even close to Louisville's. And so that's kind of my hopefully saving grace is that I think that, the defense will look better because we play worse offenses and the offense will continue to grow and do better. I think the offense really probably should have scored 21, 24 points, which again, isn't enough, but looks better. Harlan just put this in the chat too. We dropped touchdown at the end for Purdy. So yeah, we could have scored 35 points yesterday and left a lot of points on the field offensively. Even with that, you know, you still lose by two scores because the defense was so bad. What about you guys? What are your thoughts after it being 24 hours before we played, since we played?
Yeah, I just, my biggest issue with yesterday, the defense is what it is. They struggled all season, the numbers they've gotten put up on them. But the receivers, I think we need them to take a step forward with Terry being out, and we had guys struggling. You even seen it last week. Warren Thompson, the big catch he had against UNC, he beat the guy offline. And this is a guy that has all the talent in the world, and he fades away, and he puts himself in a bind to where now he's close to the sideline and makes it hard job to make the catch. But Travis made a great throw in that game. He did the same thing this week, and we had a few other guys do it. Against these great teams, you beat these guys off the line, you got to stack them up. Because they're going to recover and they're taught to press you out of bounds. Like they're going to use that sideline as an extra defender. So these guys, they got to know that. And I know it's being taught to them. It's just about doing it. They can't get into it with Warren Thompson. The guy can run like a wind in the wind. He beats you off the line. You're not catching up with him. But now he's putting himself in the bind to where now he can't make a play because he's taking himself out of the play just by running out of bounds and fading away. You'll see it tomorrow on the Extra Sauce segment. It was disappointing to see him. Six, he's usually our reliable guy. He had a tough game yesterday. I know he's going to bounce back. You don't usually see that from him. He came up big for us last week. But need to see those guys step up for us to have a win against Pitt this week. Well, after the bye week.
Yeah, I think the receivers were definitely the most frustrating part of the game because it seemed like it was all game long just dropping catchable passes. And I think we knew coming into the game that this offense, it's not built really to play from behind. When Jordan Travis throws the ball 32 times, I think that's bad news for this team just because that's not, you know, what we want to do. Because both Toefele and Webb, you know, I think they had 9 and 7 carries, but they were both over like 6-7 yards a carry. We just didn't, you know, stick with the game plan or with the ground game. But when you get behind so quickly, you know, when the defense is giving up touchdowns of like 70 yards, 55 yards, 40 yards all back to back to back, it's, you know, it puts the offense in a bad spot. And luckily outside of Clemson, we're not going to play another really good offense this year. I knew at Louisville, you know, their record is what they were, but we said going into this we knew they had some talented players. But again, you know, Pitt, they're coming off a humiliating loss to Notre Dame, so we both get a bye, and I think it's a really good opportunity for this team to, you know, take that next step up. Again, the progress is not linear, but we can take another step forward against Pitt, and hopefully we do.
Yeah, I think that the bye week comes at the perfect time, whether we had won this or lost this. You know, Travis is a little banged up the game before this, the week before this. You know, you're coming off a pretty tough loss. You know, bye week comes at a good time. I think that, again, Pitt will play better than they did against Notre Dame, just like Louisville played better than they did against Notre Dame. They also get the benefit of the bye week as well. You know, but I think that, you know, it's a very, very winnable game for Florida State. I know Richie said he hates the FPI, and I totally get that. But we have a better chance to beat Pitt than anybody else left on the schedule, according to ESPN. So I think that as bad as we feel right now, Pitt fans feel the same way, maybe worse. They're not a great team. We're not a great team, but, we get that game in Tallahassee, and I I was worried about the Louisville game. I know we all picked us and we all got crying Jordan for it, but I was worried about the Louisville game because their strength was our strength, right? It was offense on offense, and their offense is just a little, their offense is better than our offense, and their weakness, their defense is better than our weakness. Whereas with Pittsburgh, their strength is, their defense. They gave up 45 to Notre Dame, though, or 42 to Notre Dame. I guess their strength is their defense, but their offense is not very good. And so I think we can outscore them. And, we've got 2 weeks before we have to preview that. But I think we will. You can put me down for a win on that, Brian, when you make the graphic. So in the bye week comes a good time. Not a ton of positives to glean from it. I thought Purdy looked okay. Had a couple of drop touchdowns, like Harlan, put in the chat. Was good to see him get in. But like I said, only kind of one way to go up from here. And we'll hope that the team improves before my use of cliches does. So I'll leave it there. I think we could. I messaged somebody about maybe calling in real quick. I don't want to do any call-ins tonight, but maybe we can do a call-in show on Thursday since there's not a game to preview. Freddie's got his extra sauce segment coming out tomorrow morning. That is sponsored by the Lemieux Company. Wilson and those guys over there do a good job, so we'll have more info on them during that. That's free for everybody, so it's not going to be behind the Patreon wall. Hopefully you guys enjoy that when it comes out. I think you guys are recording that tonight, if I know correctly. So if it is done tonight, it'll come out at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. If not, it'll probably be around noon, so I'll let you guys know. but it should be out first thing tomorrow morning. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. Go back to our YouTube page, youtube.com/DoubleFriesPod, and check out Trey's drive-through, Trey Rowland's drive-through. None of the content matters because he said we were going to beat Louisville, and so that didn't stand up, but it was really funny. There's some really funny one-liners in there. Trey's hilarious, so appreciate him kind of partnering with us for the rest of the year to do that. You guys have anything else before we get out of here?
I just wanted to touch on what Ziegler said. He was talking about everybody supporting the program. And that I had a few players reach out to me over this social media deal behind the scenes, and they kind of get bothered by the fans coming at them and stuff. And I had to get on some guys like, man, you shouldn't even really be worried about that, to be honest, because back in our day, we didn't really pay attention to it, like whether we were winning or whether we were losing. We didn't give it too much attention because we knew what it would be if we lost, and we knew what it was when we won. We knew how fast it could go up and down and how fast people would switch up on you. So I think the issue with some of the guys is they come, they want to be liked, they want to be accepted. It's cool, but that shouldn't be the case. You love the support, you appreciate the support, but at the end of the day, as a team, you only go keep everything in tight inside the locker room and keeping everything tight knit, because nobody truly, as a football team in sports, nothing outside of that locker room matters. So block out all of that noise. It is what it is. Even when we were playing, like, we would come see stuff, we just scroll past it. It is what it is. We can't control that. We got a game to win next week, so I'm not worried about that. So these guys, the ones I talked to today and the other guys that are struggling with it, y'all make sure y'all studying film, getting ready for Pittsburgh, because y'all showed us for two halves what we can do against UNC. And I'm not, you feel me? I ride with y'all till the wheels fall off. I believe y'all can step up. So y'all got to show us at this point. I know we still got some players that can make plays. It's just about blocking out that noise. Our heads are in the wrong place. We're coming on Twitter, arguing with fans, arguing with former players. We got to get back refocused. I feel like we kind of got too high after the UNC game, started feeling ourselves, and we got let down this week.
Yeah, we talked about, we'll talk more about the schedule as we go, but, I think the Pitt game is very winnable. The NC State game is winnable, isn't there? I think their quarterback is down. They got blown out by North Carolina last week. They're not a great team either. The Clemson game's a loss, and then, Virginia scored all of 14 points on Miami, and their offense looked absolutely atrocious for much of the game. They scored a touchdown late against Miami. And then the Duke game. Duke is not very good, right? So all those games are winnable. They're all losable. We could finish this season 2-9, or we could finish this season 6-5, or probably somewhere in the middle, right? So you know, it'll be on what gets fixed during the bye week and where do we go from here. So that's all I've got for tonight. Richie, Freddie, who wants the song? I played Sound of Silence to get us out. Let's get something a little more exciting than that. Who wants the song to get us out of here tonight?
I'll get it. I took Thursday, so I'll let Freddie get this one.
Let's see what I got, man. What's a hot song right now? I'm gonna go with some Rod Wave, man. Rod Wave. Smile. Yeah, yeah. Smile by Rod Wave.
All right, play us out, Harlan.
This for them tribulations and trials. I finally got a smile for all the frowns. I finally get to make my mama proud. Start a family, bought a house. I finally see what pops was talking about. But it was hard looking up when I was down. I was down bad and bummy. They were laughing at me, but it wasn't funny. Imagine me in that bottom as a youngin' on the end of giving Sunday. Trying to find a way to get some money. We cut grass to get cash when I was hungry. Stealing chicken out of Publix. Nigga grab a bus and go to running. Nigga never gave me nothing, so it's fuck em. Was balling on the budget. I remember balling on the budget. I was fine till my mind got corrupted. Used to wanna be a firefighter or a teacher. Till niggas came through on 22s and booming speakers. My mind changed instantly. Mom didn't even know what got an into me. Thugging hard, stealing cars and shooting at the enemies. I used to hit my knees and pray I find a thanks for 10 apiece. Till then we slow grind and break it down to 10 to G. Till then, slow grind and break it down to 10 to G. I know you remember me. Back in 11th grade, was addicted to popping seals. I love to sit that lean, I like the way it made me feel. The smile up on my face, babe, cause I've been swallowing pills. Couldn't focus in class, my mama stuck on them M's. Get to thinking about my past, that shit be giving me chills. I never thought I'd see the day I get a record deal. My baby mama to the hill, fuck the drama, made this live. In the Bahamas trying to heal. Tell me your problems and your fears. And all of them niggas on the internet be hoes. You the type of nigga I hated when I was broke. You the type of nigga see this pole and be froze. I'm the type of nigga get jealous and rob a modest clothes. By the time you jumped off the porch, I was in the middle of the road. When you got down the street, I was already headed home. On the porch knocking, looking for love, but it was gone. They gotta find my passion in these songs.
Oh, I
say,
they never really had a reason.
This for them tribulations and trials. Keep looking up, but it was down. It was hard trying to get it off the ground. Tribulations and trials. You couldn't take my shoes and walk a mile. Finna put them diamonds in my mouth, cause I got a reason to smile. A reason to smile. A reason to smile. A reason to smile. Reason to smile. Reason to smile, oh, reason to smile, reason to smile, oh, reason to smile.